Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are continuing in the 10th parak of Maseches Shabbos. Today we are learning Parak Yud, Mishnah Dalet, and Parak Yud, Mishnah Hey. When it comes to the Melachos of Shabbos, the only time that a person has actually transgressed, that a person has actually done an Aveira of performing a Melacha on Shabbos, is if it was done as a Meleches Machsheves, a creative, calculated act of work. Only then has he actually done the Aveira. Therefore, if one intended to perform something that was totally permissible on Shabbos, but accidentally performed the Melacha itself, then he is exempt from liability. He has not performed the Melacha on a De'araisa level on Shabbos. So, for example, if a person picks up a vegetable from the ground thinking that it was already plucked from the ground, but in fact it was still attached to the ground, so he unintentionally performed this malacha of kotzer, of reaping on Shabbos, and he did not perform the malacha, at least on a da'araisa level, because it certainly was not intentional, it was certainly not a malachas machshev, as a calculated creative act on Shabbos. This pitur of a malachas machsheves is referred to as misasik, that if a person is simply living his life and he's busying in his life and he does something completely unintentionally with no creative intent whatsoever, then he has not transgressed the prohibition on Shabbos of whatever that malacha is. The Mishnah that we're about to learn in Perek Yud Mishnah Dalet is going to teach us that in certain situations, this pitur of it not being a malachas machsheves applies even if one did intend to do a malacha, but he accidentally performed it in a way that was inferior, that was less significant, less helpful to the one that he actually planned and intended to do. Says the Mishnah, "Miskavin lehotzi lefanav v'vala la'acharav pater." If a person intends to carry an item that was in front of him, but before he completes the carrying act of putting it down in the Rishus HaRabim or the Rishus HaYachid, what happens? It slides around and it goes behind him. In this case, says the Mishnah, he is potter, he is exempt from having transgressed this prohibition. And the reason for that is because carrying something on Shabbos in front of one's body is considered to be better, it's considered to be a greater way of carrying, a more creative, intentional way of carrying than carrying it behind a person's back, because one can more easily guard and protect that which is in front of him and not that which is behind him. Therefore, if one intends to carry something that is in front of him, but it shifts around to the area behind him, then the carrying, the act of hotzah, the act of carrying on Shabbos, was completed in a manner that was inferior to the one that he planned, and therefore he is exempt from this malacha because it wasn't considered to be a malachas machsheves, a creative, intentional act of carrying on Shabbos. Continuing in the Mishnah, la'acharav ubalu lefanav, if however, the opposite happens, where a person intends to carry the item behind him, which again is inferior, which is less significant, but before he completes the act of hotzah, it slides around and goes in front of him, then he has transgressed the prohibition. He is liable for hotzah on Shabbos, since what he did by carrying it in front of him, it shifted in front of him, is better than what he had actually intended to do. Therefore, he is liable for carrying on Shabbos once it shifted in front of him in that situation. Now the Mishnah is going to give us an exception to this halacha, says the Mishnah Be'emes Amru. In truth, they said, this is a halacha l'Moshe Sinai, whenever it says Be'emes Amru, this is something that we don't have explicitly in the Pesukim, but it's halacha, it's a law that we got directly from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ha'isha ha'chogeres b'sinar, that if a woman was wearing this article of clothing that was like under her skirt, that was generally worn for a woman to be modest, and she carried something that is attached to the skirt itself, bein milfanehu, bein milachareha chayev, it says the Mishnah, she is liable, she has transgressed the prohibition of hotzah, whether the item slides in front of her or behind her. At the end of the day, she has transgressed, assuming that she carried the item with this underskirt. Why? Shekein roi lihiyos chozer, because a woman knows that it is normal, that it is typical, that it is expected for this type of garment to keep turning around, and therefore, when you, even though you intended to put the item behind you, and then in front of you rather, and then it flipped behind you, so even though we said previously that you wouldn't be chayiv, you wouldn't be obligated, you wouldn't transgress the prohibition of hotzah, here we assume you would, because at the end of the day, it's typical for this item to shift around from the front to the back and vice versa, and therefore that was expected and is considered to be a melechas machsheves in that situation. The next Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, is going to extend it to another situation. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, af mikable piskin, that even those who receive like these royal letters from the king to deliver, they're liable, even they've transgressed the prohibition of hotzah, of carrying on Shabbos, whether the tube in which the letters are held slide in front or behind them, as in the previous case of this case of the underskirt. At the end of the day, a letter carrier knows that it is normal for this tube to move around when he runs, and therefore, since he realizes from the beginning, he is chayiv, even if the tube slips around behind him. Continuing now with Perek Yud, Mishnah Hey. We learned previously that if one person did just the first part of the malacha and another person did the second part of the malacha, both people are exempt, are pater from the malacha, at least again, on a midaraisa level. Pater avalasar, so lasa midaraban, rabbinically, but it's permitted, and it's permitted on a daraisa level, it's not an iser min ha-Torah. The Mishnah here in Parak Yud, Mishnah Hey, is going to teach us the halacha regarding two people who perform an entire malacha together from the beginning to end. And is the halacha the same? Are they obligated or not? Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi kikar l'rishus harabim chay, that if a person carries and moves a loaf of bread from a private area, from a rishus hayachid, to a public area, to a rishus harabim on Shabbos, he is liable, he's transgressed the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos because he did the entire malacha himself. However, says the Mishnah, hotziuhu shnayim peturin, but if two people were holding on the loaf of bread together, it certainly could have been carried by one person, but they were each holding on it. They both, the Akira and the Hanacha, picking it up and putting it down together from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachid, or vice versa, in this case from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim, then it says the Mishnah, they are putter, they are exempt, because neither of them performed the entire Malacha by themselves, and therefore they could have done it by themselves, but they did it together, therefore it is permitted on a Midaraisa level. Continuing in the Mishnah, Lo Yachol Echad Lehotzio. However, if one person cannot carry it by himself, for example, it's a very, very heavy item, not a loaf of bread, but let's say there's a couch that was moved. So then what's the halacha? Menakes Vehotzio Shnayim, two people carried it together, says the Mishnah, Chayav Menakes, they are both liable, they both transgressed the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos, because in this case, each person is viewed as though he performed the entire malacha, because again, they needed each other to do it, and therefore they've done this malacha of carrying on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Poter, Rabbi Shimon says they are exempt here as well, because the reality is that neither of them did the entire malacha, they still did it together, and that again is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, that even if they couldn't have done it by themselves, if they do it together, they have not transgressed the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. As the Bar Tanura points out, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon, but that is nonetheless his opinion. Now we're going to deal with the situation of one individual, one person, who carries the item not by himself, but in a container. What's the halacha in such a case? Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi acholin pachos mikashir bakli, if a person carrying less than the minimum amount of food. So we learned previously many different measurements, so that at the end of the day, you're only liable for hotzah on Shabbos if you carry the amount of that item that you can use to fulfill that item's purpose. So let's say a person's carrying less than that amount that would make them transgress on a daraisa level. So they have less than that in a container, in a box. What's the halacha? Pater afalkli, he's exempt, he's not liable, he has not transgressed the prohibition, not only for carrying the food, again, on a daraisa level, he did nothing wrong because it was less than the shear discussed previously, but he's even exempt for carrying the vessel itself, for carrying the utensil, the container itself. Why? Shekli tfeilo, because the kli, the utensil, the container that's being used is tafel, is secondary, is not the main thing. He certainly wasn't intending to carry that, and therefore he's not going to be obligated for the container, because he only really cared about the item that was inside the container that was less than the shear, than the measurement, so he hasn't transgressed the prohibition. Says the Mishnah, as hachayd b'mita, likewise, similarly, if a person's carrying a live person on a bed, patra falamita, he is not obligated, he is exempt also, not only for carrying the person, but he's also exempt for carrying the bed. Now, why is he exempt from carrying the person, carrying a person on Shabbos? Why isn't that hotzah? So the Gemara says, chay no se etzah, there's a concept that a person who's alive carries himself, that he shifts around his weight to gain a degree of balance, that a person who's alive is really, even if you're technically carrying them on a bed, we still assume that they're carrying themselves. themselves that you're not carrying the person. So certainly, if it's a live person, you're not chayiv. You're not obligated for carrying them. You haven't transgressed the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos. But the truth is here as well. Even if they're on a bed, you're not exempt from carrying them on the bed. The bed isn't. You didn't carry the bed because again, the ikkar, the main focus here, wasn't the bed, but it was the person. And the person you're exempt from as well. Continuing in the Mishnah Shan Mita. Because again, the bed is secondary to the person. The main focus isn't the person. The main focus isn't the bed. The main focus is the person, and therefore you are exempt from carrying the bed as well. Continuing in the Mishnah, as hames b'mita chayiv. However, if one carries a dead body on a bed, he certainly is chayiv because a dead body does not have this concept of chay nose etzas. A dead body is certainly not able to carry itself, and therefore you have transgressed if you carry a dead person on a bed. And the truth is, this applies even if his purpose and goal in transferring the dead body was the purely negative goal of removing it from the house. That usually melachas machshavas means that you intend to do something positive, that if you're doing hotzah, you want this item to not be in this public domain, you want it to be in the private domain, or you don't want it to be in the private area, you want it to be in the public area. When you want that clearly and undoubtedly, then that shows your intention that you want something done. However, let's say your only reason why you're moving the dead body from the house isn't because you actually care where it is in the next area. The only reason why you're doing it is because you don't want to become tameh. Or you want people in the house to become tameh, and then you're still liable there as well, says the Tana Kama, because again, this is an example of a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa, a malacha where you don't actually care about the malacha itself. There's a negative secondary reason why you're performing the malacha, but according to the Tana Kama, a malacha she'ena tzricha lagufa is still chayv. You're still obligated because at the end of the day, it's still a malachas machshev, as the Bar Tanura points out, even if there's a secondary reason why you want the move to happen, and the malach isn't actually helpful to you itself. And the Mishnah says similarly, v'chein kezayis min hameis. The same is true if one removes any item from his house in order to get rid of it because it transmits Torah, because at the end of the day, it was a kezias of a dead body, let's say, kezias been an avela, or the kezias and olives, a volume of a dead animal. Also, you don't want to become tamed from that. V'cha adashim and hasharet, or the lentils volume. These are the different shear and the different measurements for what things can allow you to become tamed. The lentils volume of one of the creepy animals that transmits Torah as well when they're dead. Chayv, and all of these cases, says the Tana Kama, he is chayiv even though his purpose was negative, even though his purpose wasn't actually to move it, he doesn't care where it goes, he just didn't want it here for the purposes of tumah. Still, according to the Tana Kama, malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. However, says the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Poter, but Rabbi Shimon exempts a person who transfers all or part of a dead person or animal from his house, because according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no obligation, there is no liability for taking something out of one's house only to get rid of it. But at the end of the day, it's not a malachas machshavas, according to him, because you didn't actually care about where it was going. You simply didn't want it in that place anymore because of the halachos of tuma. But as the Bar Tanura points out, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. We assume that a malacha she'ena tzricha l'gufa is chayiv. At the end of the day, you're still doing the malacha intentionally with a clear purpose in mind, even if it's not to get it where you want it to ultimately go. Quick review. Perek Yud Mishnah Dal discussed a case where a person is carrying an item that initially he intends to have it in front of him, but then it slides behind him. So we said there, at the end of the day, he's potter, he's exempt from liability, because at the end of the day, his intention was to have it in front of him. It slid behind him, which is an inferior type of carrying, and that's not considered to be a meleches machshevas, an intentional a creative type of work. However, says the Mishnah, if he had it behind him and it slid in front of him, then he would be chayiv because it went from an inferior type of carrying from behind him and slid in front of him, which is a greater way of carrying, and therefore he was liable for carrying in that situation. And the Mishnah gave two exceptions, at least two potential exceptions to this rule. Number one, a situation that's halacha l'moshe misina, where a woman has some sort of an underskirt, some sort of article of clothing under her skirt, and it sort of slides from in front of her to behind her, and you're sort of attaching something to that skirt. So at the end of the day, she is liable whether the item slides in front of her or behind her, because at the end of the day, this is the kind of thing that typically does shift from the front to the back, so she's going to be obligated regardless. Rabbi Yehuda extends it as well to a case of a mail carrier with royal letters and a tube and so on. Rabbi the Bartanur points out we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but he nonetheless extends this exception to that rule as well, because those tubes as well are going to shift from the front to the back and vice versa. Then, Parak Yud Mishnah Hey discussed the case of a person who transfers, let's say, or carries a loaf of bread from a Rishus HaYachat to a Rishus HaRav, from a private area to a public area. We said that as long as he does it by himself, he is liable, he's transgressed the prohibition. If, however, two people are carrying a loaf of bread, then they have not transgressed the prohibition because they each did it together, which was unnecessary. However, the Tanakhama says that if it's something that's too heavy for one person to do, and then two people do it, they both did transgress the prohibition of Hotzah because they are both needed for that. However, Rabbi Shimon, who we don't paskin like, says no, that is, that at the end of the day, because they both did it together, even if they couldn't have done it separately, they did it together, and therefore they would be potter, they would be exempt from that. And then we continue discussing the case of one individual who carries the item not by himself, but in a container. So we said that if a person carries less than the amount of food necessary in a container, so he's going to be potter not only for the food, but for the container itself, because that was tough, and that was secondary to the food. The same is true if you have a live person on a bed, a live person, we assume that you're not chayiv for carrying a live person, and the bed as well was potter because that's also tough, that's also secondary to the live person. And then we discussed a dead person that you're carrying on a bed with there you're chayim, because there you clearly intended to move the dead body and therefore you're obligated for doing so. And we said that even if you only moved him for the intention of getting the tum out of the home, whether it's a piece of the dead body, whether it's a kezias of nevela, whether it's a lentil volume of a creeping animal that makes you tameh, chayim. Says the Tanakhama, even though it's a malacha shena tzrichal gufa, but your intention is simply to get it out of the house for the purpose of tumah, you're still obligated, you still transgress the prohibition. Rabbi Shimon disagrees because he holds that Melech Hashem Tzrichal Gufa is not a Melechas Machsheves, it's not a creative act, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you have done nothing wrong, at least on a Daraisa level. But again, we don't pass now. We hold that a Melech Hashem Tzrichal Gufa is an issue on a Mid Daraisa level. Have a great day.